Welcome to the Flatracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:20, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 24th. And it's good to be back. Well, holidays are always great, and but it's also good to be back, and it's an exciting time to be coming back because we've had such an inert environment on Wall Street and a number of indices. And we know for sure that that doesn't last indefinitely. And I guess if we were thinking about selling in May and coming, sell in May and come back on Labor Day or St. Swithin's Day, then we are approaching September, which, you know, it brings a lot of people back from holiday, and not least in Europe. And then people start deciding how are they going to pay for their holidays. That's certainly how I'm thinking. And I'm looking at precious metals right now, and silver is down 40 cents. It's trading at around $18.50. Platinum was down $28 today. It's trading back below 1100. Gold is trading around 1325. It was down 12. So this is a more aggressive pullback, and not least on the gold shares. The NYSE Arca Gold Bugs Index pulled back very sharply in here today, and that has now broken its progression of higher reaction lows that have been in evidence since February. So what we're seeing now is a more aggressive process of mean reversion. And this was something that I had spoken about being a possibility before going away on holiday last week, that often in when you've had a big run up and then you enter a rather tight range, that can go on for a while, and then the process of mean reversion can sometimes be accelerated as people lose patience with the market and then start to look at what the risks are and realize just how rarefied the territory is relative to where the trend mean is, and they begin to take profits, and that can lead to a sharper pullback. Well, the real test of whether this is a medium-term bull market environment for the precious metals is whether they are going to find support in the region of their respective trend means. And considering how quickly they've pulled back in here today, then they're substantially, they're quite a bit closer to those trend means today than they would have been at the end of last week. So we are potentially being set up for a favorable buying opportunity. And if the if the mantra for trading in precious metals over the last decade has been don't pay up for commodities, then of course the flip side is that they are best bought following pullbacks, and this is certainly a pullback. Now, those gold shares pulling back so very strongly in here today would suggest that at least some people are getting a little bit panicky, that and that there is definitely profit taking going on, because this market had accelerated so incredibly powerfully that the index itself is up well in excess of 100% this year, and that a substantial number of gold shares did quite a bit better than that. But they have paused, and now we're getting a shakeout, and this is going to set us up then for potentially the next leg upwards, but not until we see some evidence of support building. And personally, I'm looking at the precious metals sector as one that is likely to benefit over the medium term from the wider macro environment, so that we could be presented with a rather favorable entry opportunity. But there isn't a great deal of evidence just yet that we have found a short-term low. But we'll know what that looks like when it arrives. Then when we look further afield, and when I did my click-through of markets this morning, having been away for a week, then it was quite clear that Europe is where we see evidence that demand is returning to dominance, that the FTSE was a little bit weaker in here today, and not least because the pound was a bit firmer, but the DAX and the CAC are back. Well, the DAX in particular is trading well above its 200-day moving average now. The CAC is also above its MA. The European banking sector has rebounded, and you know, these are flying in the face of what had been a deep corrective environment. So, of course, I don't think the fact is lost on anyone that the ECB is engaged in quantitative easing, that they are doing whatever it is that they can, and that they are fully committed to doing anything necessary to achieve their goals. And while their official goal is to target an inflation rate, perhaps a more accurate description of what the ECB's goal is to ensure its own survival. And its survival is, of course, largely dependent on the integrity of the Eurozone. So they will do whatever is required to ensure their own survival. And generally speaking, because we've had that very deep corrective environment, then there's less concentration on the risks, because a lot of those risks would have been priced in. Now, there's been a terrible tragedy in Indi in Italy with this earthquake, and coming hot on the heels of Merkel telling Renzi that the rules couldn't be bent for Italy. Now, that's going to go down. That's not going to be a particular popular statement in Italy when they're facing into rebuilding after this earthquake, and also trying to manage their banking sector, and facing into trying to get this referendum on the reform of the Senate passed. There is every likelihood that Italy is going to be bending the rules, but if it can't, then we know what the potential catalyst is likely to be for a future corrective environment in Italy. But we are now in August, and Renzi has until the end of the year to call that referendum, and he's going to leave it as long as he possibly can. So that could potentially set us up for a couple or a few month period of time where markets can rally, and then we go into a more corrective environment later on, but not just yet. When we look at the ASEAN region, then it's been generally quiet, but the Chinese markets are trading back above their respective trend means. The Hang Seng has been leading. The H shares have done a bit, haven't done quite as well, but they are trading well above their MA, and the CSI 300 is right there in the region. Now, they are a bit overbought in the short term, so we can't discount the possibility that there's going to be at least some consolidation. But as long as progressions of higher reaction lows remain intact, then we'd give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. We're at a potentially important juncture in Japan, because the yen is trading right at the 100 yen to the dollar level, and the Nikkei is trading right in the region of the 200-day moving average. And I think the correlation there is probably not lost on people, that if the yen continues to strengthen and strengthens beyond 100, then that's likely to result in an additional corrective phase for the Nikkei. Perhaps the relative strength of the second section index is worth highlighting, because it is pushing higher, and it hasn't, quite resumed its uptrend yet, but it's at least the prospects for Japan aren't quite a write-off. And if the Nikkei can sustain a move above 17,000, then that would be rather bullish. At least it would break the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. Now, when we look at Wall Street, then the S&P has been inert, and it is still trading about 100 points above its 200-day moving average. And that's only about 5%. Then there is the potential that we get a somewhat larger reaction than we've had in the last month. But this has been such incredibly tight trading that even a day like today, where the index was down 10 points, which is less than a half of a percent, it looks like a big move on the daily chart, and of course it isn't. So that will give us well, that will tell us what the market has been conditioned to expect, because volatility measures are very low, but volatility futures are starting to move higher, which would suggest that people are buying insurance, because we're in the last couple of weeks of August, and they are pricing in the potential that we're going to have greater volatility in September, October, November, and December. And I think that that's not an unreasonable expectation. And of course, we can just look at just how inert the market has been and say that it's practically a surety that we're going to have a more volatile environment, because this kind of inert trading does not last indefinitely. And a sustained move below the 200-day moving average would be required to question the overall bullish environment. And the NASDAQ has done a bit better than the S&P, so it does have more room in which to consolidate. The Russell 2000, which has jumped by about a third from its lows, well, it's right back at the 1250 level. And, you know, that's pretty much in the region of the previous peak. So if we get some consolidation and a somewhat deeper consolidation in this area, then that's unlikely to be of a surprise to many people. The most important fact for all of these indices is that they find support in the region of their respective trend means following any pullback. And when we look at the bond markets, generally speaking, they were all in slightly negative territory in here today. That bond yields have been a little bit firmer. But overall, with the Fed expected to raise rates very gradually, and in a number of circles expected to pull back from raising rates entirely, and with little prospect for interest rate hikes just about anywhere else in the among the G7 at least, then the likelihood of bond yields rising aggressively would be looking rather unlikely. And since we know that there is a significantly large number of bonds have to be refinanced in the late 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020 areas, then, and not least sovereign bonds, then that represents a significant headwind to raising interest rates, because it would be the government cutting off its nose to spite its face, that their ability to refinance it would be inhibited greatly by higher interest rates. So they'd be much better off either retiring some of that debt or trying to refinance it at very attractive rates before raising rates, and then refinancing it at very long rate, very long durations. And there doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite for doing that just yet. And I guess precious metals were weaker today, but it was a generally weak day on stock markets generally, and some of the better performing ones have pulled back, not least sugar, which was down 12 today on the London traded contract. But cocoa was also a little bit weaker, and oil prices were down in the region of about $1. And what we've seen is that inventories have risen a bit, and then there is the potential for something of a detente coming through between Saudi Arabia and Iran, that Iran might fall into place with trying to limit additional supply. And if that is indeed the case, well, that should help to support prices. But the reality is that the higher prices remain, the greater the incentive there is for the major oil companies, and not least onshore U.S. Shale, to increase their drilling, and which would obviously increase their supply. So we're in a finely balanced market, and the upper side of the range would appear to be somewhere in the $50 to $60 area, and the lower side of that range is probably more like in the $20 to $35 area. So that's a significant trough to peak swing, and it looks like we're pretty close to the upper side of that range right now. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.